tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson.
AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
That music always gets me pumped up every time I hear it.
Yeah.
If you are tuning into AfterBuzzTV.com, you have come to the right place because this is the Survivor After Show for Survivor Second Chances, Season 31, Episode 1. I'm your host, James Wallington, and this season we have a brand new after show panel that I'm excited to introduce you to. Across the table from me are...
I'm Susanna Kim.
And I'm Paige Bonanno. You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Paige Bonanno.
Yeah, well, welcome, you guys.
Thank you. We're so excited.
So, let's just dive right into this episode because, as we know, it was a long one. There's a lot of ground to cover with this episode. I don't know about you guys, but the first 15 minutes of this episode were probably the best 15 minutes of my life. That might be a little dramatic, but no, but... there was something about the first 15 minutes, the energy of this cast, the energy that Jeff is bringing this season. It's just different from previous seasons that we've seen. So what do you guys think? Yeah, elevated. That's a good word. What do you guys think?
Yeah, when Jeff was like, one survivor, you know, and the camera pans back, I was just like, it was just the best. And I started like laughing right away. It was so dramatic and so great. And it like made me so excited to watch this season.
Yeah, and the way they shot the intro too, with the boats coming in and the teams already kind of separated up. I just loved all of that.
I thought it was beautifully done and shot how we see the cast, you know, in the Jeep going through the jungle and they end up at the Angkor Wat temple and they're kind of going through this journey of just kind of reminiscing on their first time on the show and how this second chance is so important to them, not only to their family and friends, but all the fans like us who voted them to be on the show. So then they get on the canoes, they go through all the villages, and then they end up out into the ocean where Jeff welcomes them, pretty much tells them that you're here because the first time you failed at the game, and this is your second chance. If you guys were in their shoes, how would you feel right now? What would be going through your head?
Well, I got what they were saying because they were like, you know, we want to do this for ourselves, but we don't want to disappoint our friends and our family and everybody that voted for us. And like, they seem more concerned about letting everybody down than, you know, even winning themselves. And I know that they want it so bad, but they really just don't want to let the people down. So I get that. I would feel the same way. You know, all these people voted you back and I would feel the same way.
Exactly. Like, and they kept drilling that point home. They kept asking that question like, hey, do you feel like this is that much more important? And the answer was always yes.
They kept drilling.
Only more people I could disappoint.
Yeah, and like, what do you feel about this compared to last? Like, it was always like, okay, you failed. Now, how are we going to make it better?
That means every tribal council is going to be that much more exciting.
I don't know about you guys, but for the cast this season, I'm an old school fan. So I am super stoked about seeing Kelly Wigglesworth on there, Jeff Varner, Kimmy Kappenberg, Andrew Savage, Terry Dietz. Like, those people to me are the reason why I grew up watching the show. So it's kind of fun and a little bit nostalgic to see them back on the TV screen after all these years they've been waiting to play again. So
yeah, and it was cool hearing like Joe and like more of the new players saying like, you know, I grew up watching these people as well. So he's playing with the people that he watched. So I think that's kind of cool for him and for the newer people.
Yeah, and even Kelly was like, oh gosh, it's so weird to hear. Yeah, to hear that you grew up watching us and here we are playing on the same season. So weird. So Jeff tells them that they are now separated into their two tribes, Takeo and Bayon.
Bayon.
And they have to crawl onto the ship, grab as much supplies that they can that will last them over the next 39 days. And then once they decide they've gotten enough supplies for them and their camp, then they can start paddling out to a boat that's a few yards away with one large bag of rice. So the intensity is definitely there because you're thinking, okay, I have to get as many supplies as I can. But at the same time, there's this large bag of rice, and rice is going to be probably huge in our survival. What did you guys think in those moments?
And they couldn't head out to get the rice before they got their stuff, right? Okay. Yeah, it was just funny because, you know, like, Spencer's grabbing chickens, they're flying everywhere. And, like, it was good. I mean, I feel like, you know, we had both the two teams, and then they start swimming. One of the teams starts swimming up right away, and the other team, it took them a long time to start swimming to the right. And I was like, why isn't someone just swim to it?
Yeah.
You know, because they're going on their raft forever, and I'm like, just swim up to it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it worked out for them anyways.
Yeah. What I loved about it was when they shot it, it kind of felt like you were in all the action. Yeah. You'd seen, at one point, Jeff almost got hit by, you know, something falling over his head, and he's like, oh, hold on, and he needs to step back. And so it really felt like you were there in the action for this.
Mm-hmm. I definitely loved it too when they started paddling their final stretch to that large mm-hmm. bag of rice. You know, Kelly Wigglesworth just jumps right in the water, starts, you know, paddling her way there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Then all of a sudden, Joe jumps in and getting more intense, and then we was like, I'm gonna go in there,
and he beat all of them, and all he started way later.
So quick.
Insane. I don't know, I was really happy that Takeo got the rice. They're already easily one of my favorite guys.
And I'm happy Wu got it because he's on my fantasy team.
That's
I was just
true.
Super excited because I know that he's a fast swimmer, he's a good player, you know.
I was disappointed that Kelly didn't get the rice, but that she went out there
first.
I mean, she was totally trying to prove something, and all three of them, I felt like, were trying to prove something at that point
and show that they're worthy on their
exactly.
track
exactly. from the get-go.
Yes. So now that we're talking about the tribes again, let's talk about when they hit the beach day one. So let's start with Takeo. There's obviously a division going on between the old school and the new school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jeff Varner put it perfectly, where it's like the old schoolers are here and they're just starting to build the shelter and they're eager to help around camp and make camp life functional. Whereas the new schoolers are more focused on walking down the beach.
Right.
Let's start playing once you hit the beach. Let's start strategizing. Mm-hmm. I think pretty much every old schooler said that there was definitely a division that was very mm-hmm. apparent. What do you guys think about this division going on? Do you think it'll be long-term?
I think to a point, you know, I think once we get to the merge, it probably won't matter anymore. But up until then, I think that's going to be the deciding factor for, you know, where they're going to be. I mean, obviously, that's already where they're spending their time. Mm-hmm. So
and they're, like, siding with the people that they're most comfortable
exactly.
with. And
it's natural.
So, yeah, exactly.
Well, we start kind of getting to know all the different characters, mm-hmm. if you will, on that tribe. Immediately, it seems like Shireen has it out for Vetus. There's some mm-hmm. something going on there where she's like, Vetus just has to go. He has this smugness to him almost, which I was really surprised because I automatically, if I hit that beach, would already be wanting Abby Maria gone. I didn't vote for her to come back.
Yeah.
Bless her heart. Sorry, I didn't. But
yeah,
she's there for growth. You know, now we're talking about Abby Maria. She's there to have a second chance and kind of redeem herself and be like, you know, I'm here for growth and I've grown a lot since my season, but I really haven't seen anything different.
Well, that's the thing. She keeps saying that she wants to be better. And then even in the tribal council, she's like, you know, I've just really learned to take a step back and really breathe. And then they flip back to her freaking out about her bracelets going through PG's bag and everything.
She says,
I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to say anything to PG. But then she says something to every single other person, just
exactly.
stirring up drama. So it's like she obviously hasn't been growing as she thinks she has been, you know?
Well, my thing also is, why would you bring a bracelet that's that important to you out to play Survivor? Like,
it was also
I wouldn't
not a cute
really.
When I find it, I was like, this must be a great bracelet. And then she pulled out the bracelet. I was like, really? It's not some. And she's like, well, it's fake gold. And it was like, the,
yeah,
you know.
She
and I was like,
that.
# bracelet gate.
Right.
I just thought there could have been. I was kind of hoping that there would have been something different as far as story for this first episode, because the whole drama between PG and Abby Maria, I was just like, really?
Already?
Like, as long as, maybe this is setting up Abby Maria because she's going home first. I wasn't sure entirely, but.
Well, and PG just kind of was like really sweet about it. She's like,
yeah.
Hey, I just want you to know, like, I didn't know anything about it. And
just a mistake.
And she was hearing it through other people, you know? Abby Maria couldn't confront her herself. So then she's like, oh, well, it wasn't me, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Which
but
is
even
funny.
When they had when they had that, like, confrontation almost, you know, it didn't really mm-hmm. feel like it resolved, right?
No.
Well, because PG was trying to apologize, and Abby was just saying, well, you know, I give you the benefit of the doubt,
right.
But really, like, basically saying, like, I don't believe you,
that.
But I'm just going to say this to make it sound like I'm a better person.
She also, in, like, a lot of her pregame interviews, were talking about, like, I'm blunt, I'm outspoken, I can be confrontational.
I'm a little firecracker.
A little firecracker, right. But then she's not living up to that because, like we just discussed, she just went to everybody else except PG.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was out there and I saw that someone had, I would just go up to
them. I'd be like,
hey, I just found my bracelet in your bag. Can you just kind of give me an explanation for that? Because at the end of the day, it's really not a big deal.
Right,
it's a bracelet.
Exactly. And why would PG have taken it in the first place? Like, she didn't
people.
Need to. Come on. Like, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
We also see a kind of a relationship budding between Vetus and Terry because
mm-hmm.
Terry was on Survivor Exile Island with Aris, who's Vetus's brother, and Aris won that season.
Mm-hmm.
So already Terry's like, I want to pull you in onto the old school side. Like, let's work together. Mm-hmm. So there's that bond forming.
Also with Spencer, it was kind of like the three of them together. They had an alliance.
And I thought
and
it was
Terry's
funny.
Was like, oh, my kids think that you're great, you know. And then Spencer was like, well, I mean, I'm here for myself, man. Like,
I'm glad your kids trust me enough yeah, to tell you to right. trust me on the show. But I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah, worked out for him.
Exactly. And Kelly Wigglesworth, it's really fun to kind of see her back on the show. Because, again, she is the
so
original
cute.
Runner-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her. I love really her. Have high hopes to see her.
And
well.
I love, too, when she, you know, she didn't get the sticks through to get the key. And she was so like, you guys, I'm sorry, I take full responsibility, just so sweet about it. And like she truly felt bad and like it was her fault, even though I mean she's such a sweet person. Yeah. I feel like,
and so strong too. I love one of the things she said in the beginning. She was like, I've had a baby now, so I can do anything. Yeah. You know, she was
and
like
crazy thing to think about, she hasn't watched a season of Survivor since her season, which is crazy.
That's amazing. I feel like that can work in her advantage, though, because a lot of people are probably, like, binge-watching all these seasons. Like, what did this person do? What's that strategy? Whereas for Kelly, she can just be like, I'm just going to do the same thing that I did the first time, except a little better, and not have to worry about all these things in her head about other people. Right. I don't know. I feel like that could work in her favor.
Well, since we're speaking of Kelly, let's talk about Kelly with an E. Mm-hmm. Kelly Wentworth. She played the first time around with her dad, Dale, on San Juan del Sur. She's back, obviously, now without her dad. She's hungry to show us viewers and us the audience that she's there to win and she's there to compete. Mm-hmm. So she automatically, being the new schooler that she is, started to look for a hidden immunity item.
Immunity. And who else was and Steven was looking for that.
That's right.
For the immunity item. Right. But he wasn't really looking.
But they didn't have this knowledge going into it that there's no more idols hidden at camp. It's just a clue to find an idol at the immunity challenge.
What a twist.
Well, she didn't know. She originally thought that she found the immunity idol, and then she's like, okay, it's just a clue, but I'm still really excited about it.
Yeah,
and good for her for going for it, is what I say.
Mm-hmm. Her reaction when she found that the clue initially, it was just
so
genuine.
I loved it.
I was like, that's exactly what I would say.
I loved it. Yeah.
Is there anything else on the Takeo tribe that maybe sticks out to you guys that you that really stuck out to you?
Go ahead.
I mean, I was just surprised that there was going to be such... I honestly didn't see that division happening, you know, as far as, like, old school, new school. Of course, I'm sort of a new school fan, because that's kind of what got me back into the show and, you know, all the challenges and stuff. So I love that, but... I don't know. I just didn't see that coming. So I'm excited to see what happens with that.
Me too. Especially if that division prolongs throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Or if it'll just kind of be this one-time thing. But I can definitely see it being a reoccurring issue, if it's even an issue.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you're just kind of blowing it out of proportion a little bit right now, you know. Right. But I don't think it'll be that big of a deal as we go on.
Mm-hmm. Whereas on the Bayonne, still don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
That tribe seems to be really cohesive. Once they hit the beach, they're all, like, sitting down and braiding pom-poms together. Well, we see Jeremy and Keith, who were on San Juan del Sur together, automatically go off and start discussing, like, you know, let bygones be good bygones. Mm-hmm. Like, let's really play this game together. And so they already start to think about people on their tribe and who they would want to work with moving forward. They definitely mentioned Joe. They mentioned Savage. They mentioned Tasha. And a little bit, I think they mentioned Fishback too, which I thought was interesting because on the flip side, Steven Fishback feels a little bit...
He feels outside.
Yeah, on the outside. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have most of the strong alpha males right on that team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, Steven's just kind of doing his own thing. Like, we see Savage hitting down this huge tree, makes the whole tree fall down, and Steven's
I loved that.
He can't even cut a little piece of wood. And Savage is cutting down a whole tree.
And the amount of time they spent on that was just
Well, because it was like 2 seconds. It only took Savage 2 seconds to cut down the tree.
So and Joe made a good point that, you know, in previous seasons of Survivor, it is pretty known for the alpha males to either be against each other or they're going to work together. So in this case, they're trying to come together, which I'm always about the women. Like, I am team girl power all the way. So I'm just like, no, I really hope the women on this tribe can get it together because I do not want to see the alpha males take over this game. The alpha male thing is so cliche. It's overdone on every reality show.
We kind of saw, too, all the women were, like, weaving the trees.
Like,
I don't know if it was Joe or someone comes by and he's like, oh, yeah, good job, girls. Yeah. Like, and then they're just, like, chopping down trees. It's, like, total alpha male thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that all the males are working together on it, honestly. Like, I feel like they can get really far if they really help each other out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the women on that tribe? Because we don't really see a lot of strategy talk from the women, more mm-hmm. so just the men, where I feel like there's a lot of potential and growth for these women to do well on that tribe. Like Sierra, for instance, mm-hmm. she is a gamer, and I loved what she was able to do in Blood versus Water, and she was definitely a top contender to win that season. Mm-hmm. So I just want them to do well.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, I mean, like I was saying about the guys, too, like, this tribe seems to, they're more cohesive and they get along better, it seems like, than the other tribe. And, like, all the girls seem to get along so far. Like, once they started Fire, everybody's so excited. Like, they're all helping each other out. I feel like they really get along, and I think that the girls will do a good job on that tribe.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think the girls on that tribe, too, like Tasha and Sierra, will both try to make better decisions from, you know, mm-hmm. their seasons past. So I think they're kind of just trying to get along for now and then feel the waters and then maybe jump into sort of their scheme. And, you know,
I love Tasha's planning. Intro about, like, going to church and praying for her sins.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tasha's going to be really interesting to watch this season because I've read a lot of interviews and, you know, knowing Tasha from her original season, she played it pretty safe, was the nice one. Everyone mm-hmm. loved her. Whereas now that she's playing Survivor Cambodia, she's like, when I went back to
my
home,
I wanted to be a good Christian, yeah, but then when I went back, everyone's like, what are you doing, girl? Like, get in there. And she's like, all right, well, I'll pray for my sins later.
Exactly.
So just definitely like looking that. Forward to seeing yeah. what Tasha's able to do, this new and improved.
What she can bring to the yeah. table with that new, like, demeanor and attitude.
Absolutely. Exactly. I'm also a huge fan of Kimmy, only because Survivor Australia Now Back was the mm-hmm. first season that I started to watch and became a huge fan of. So to see her, as well as Jeff Varner, that mm-hmm. kind of rivalry that happened on season two, be on this season together, mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with. Kimmy, I'm excited to see do well. I mm-hmm. think she's kind of right now, like, an underdog that people aren't really thinking are going to yeah, do well, totally. So it'll be interesting to see how she does, whereas Cass, complete polar
yeah,
opposite.
That's so
chaos
true.
Cass, everyone already knows she's kind of a villain. Uh-huh. She's not afraid to cause a little bit of chaos around camp.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think Cass's chances are at this point?
I think it's sort of slim, to be totally honest, but I mean, I think she even has that feeling, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of seemed like she was coming off as, you know, I'm here to have fun and, you know, see what I can do, and she wants to mix it up, so, mm-hmm. you know, she's playing her cards the way she wants to,
and
I think.
And who knows,
so.
Maybe she is so much of the underdog that she's going to surprise us, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the villains make it to the end and they praise them, you
yeah,
know?
Right?
So you never know.
That is true. That's a really good point. Whereas Steven, going back to him, I'm a little disappointed, I'll say that, only because I'm excited that he's back. I was a fan of him on Survivor Token Jeans, but already when he's like, I feel like I did on my first season, I'm kind of isolated, I don't really feel involved with the group. I'm just thinking, this is your second chance. Like, wouldn't you think to just put yourself in the situation? Like, go cut down a tree with somebody. Like, go do it with them. Don't just sit on a log and be like, I feel like I'm the odd man out right now.
Exactly. Because then you're making yourself the odd man out.
Yeah.
Like, just get in there, get into the trouble, and go get started with it. Because otherwise, people see you that way if you're going to act like
that. Whose fault is that?
Right, that's why I'm a little worried for him and his longevity in the game. Because I don't know if he continues to have this mentality where it's like, I'm an odd man out.
How long it actually lasts,
I think. And then he'll be one of the first few to leave on that tribe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So. But he started to look for an immune idol, and it didn't really work
out. But he wasn't really looking. Like, they were like, oh, I think he went to look for the idol. And then he was just kind of, like, throwing, like, rocks in the water.
Right, yeah. Right.
So good. Yeah. Well, then back on the Takeo tribe, we see Jeff and PG in the ocean talking once again about this division. But instead of the new school versus old school, it was just the shelter people
versus
and the beach
people.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know what I am. I've done both.
Yeah.
He is so
His
funny.
Attitude is just hilarious so far.
Love it. He lightens everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that one confessional when he was sitting there and talking about, like, you know, Shireen's on this train and she's the conductor and she's going a million miles an hour. I'm just like, I'm just glad to be on it. And then he's like, oh, what just bit my ass?
Yeah. And then he's talking about how people go through a midlife crisis, right?
He's doing a midlife quest.
Yeah, he's like, this is my quest. You know, some people cheat on their wives. Some people buy a Corvette. I'm just going on Survivor. I was laughing so hard.
That just is what makes him so endearing and likable to an audience. It's like, I love Jeff Varner, and I've been a huge fan of his since the Outback, so.
Right. Well, he's just got a good attitude. I mean, he's just along for the ride. He wants to just have a good time. He obviously wants to win $1 million, but, you know, he's there to have fun, and he's there to make friends and not take it too seriously.
And you can just feel from him every time he's on the screen how badly he wants to be there. Even going back to the first boat when Jeff was like, you know, Varner, you've been waiting for years to play this, and he was getting a little choked up in his throat, like, yeah, butterflies.
Aww.
I can only imagine
yeah.
after all of those years finally being back
right.
in the game.
And, right. and all that might work for him, you know, playing the whole how badly he wants it, plus, mm-hmm. you know, him sort of being a little naive to everything. You know, I think that's going to work for him. People aren't mm-hmm. going to see him as a threat so much. So well, they might just carry him along. Because he kept
saying on the beach that thing, too, like, I don't know. I don't know where my head is. I don't know where I'm supposed to look. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he was saying that with Shireen and Spencer as they
were walking. He's like, I picked up on so many cues the last couple days.
Right. And you might be playing that, you know. Yeah. I love it.
So let's talk about the immunity challenge.
Okay.
We have the Quest for Fire, which was so fun to watch because it brought us back to season one,
the Survivor Borneo. The very first episode.
First challenge on that season. And, of course, Kelly Wigglesworth having to live through that moment again. She lost that challenge the first time she played the show. But what I was excited most to see about this immunity challenge was how that hinted immunity idol was going to come into play. Like, was Kelly going to be able to go for it?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, entire time they're like lighting all the torches along. And I'm just like thinking, okay, just cut to Kelly already because I just want to see how this is going to play out. Like, it's either going to help her or someone's going to catch her.
Right.
So, what did you guys think about those moments?
Well, when she first went by it, I originally was like, how is she going to get back? You know, like, there's no way she's going to be able to grab it now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she snuck back there without anybody seeing her. Not one person turned their head. So, I'm happy that she got it. Because otherwise, I feel like she would have regretted that for the rest of the entire thing.
So, when she first passed by it, I didn't think she was going to go back for it. And then the whole time, it kind of seemed like Vitas was just standing there watching her. I was like, but can it was you funny turn she around?
They kept panning to her, looking over.
And it worked to her favor because the other tribe hadn't even come to the beach really yet. So, her just looking over her shoulder looked like she was just maybe checking the progress of the other tribe and seeing where they were at. So
I can't believe nobody saw her.
I loved her ninja moves.
I loved it.
The twist of just the hidden immunity idols being in the challenge is brilliant. Whatever producer came up with that idea, great work, because it's something completely different.
Yes.
And because it is second chance, these, you know, contestants,
they're going to do anything that they can to get it.
Always shuffle it up. And
that's so true, because she was already on the beach looking for an idol. So they're like, hey, let's make this a little harder for these people. Mm-hmm. And so it totally makes sense that they would do that. Let's just add another challenge for them. You know?
What you thought originally is no longer. No, right. It's a completely different field.
Yeah.
Going back to that challenge, was really rooting for Takeo because I was like, oh, this would be such a great redemption moment for Kelly Wigglesworth. She lost the first time. It just didn't seem like her pole was as sturdy as Joe's was.
I know.
So it's just like, oh, I was on the edge of
and she
my
had
seat.
A lot of time before that, too, before they even got to the island. You know, she had a lot more time to get in. She just couldn't make it strong enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, because Keith was trying to light those things and he couldn't light them. I know. I felt bad. I was like, why didn't someone else grab a torch?
I was kind of surprised that he was, you know, having trouble with that.
And his flame went out.
I know. He kind of dipped it in the water a little bit.
He took both of his hands off. You have to have both your hands. You have to have a hand on at all times. And he took both of his hands off. I saw it, and I was like,
Ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but I don't know. I love the redemption at the end. I mean, not redemption, but, you know, her trying to get it, and then even, I think it was Spencer that took over, and even he couldn't get it, so I guess.
I wonder if for every challenge, like, you think every challenge is going to be one from a previous season?
I can only imagine. Yeah. I think just to bring them back to their roots.
Right.
Or maybe,
well, they make it a little different. Like, on the first challenge, in the first season, they didn't have the stick thing to put through the keyhole.
Maybe it'll be a challenge from everyone's different seasons where it, like, gives them a chance of redemption.
Right, exactly.
You know? So, it'll be interesting to see, moving forward, the different challenges.
What challenges,
that they've come up with. Just something that crossed my mind, since we were talking about the Hidden Immunity Idol. You know, so Kelly knew, obviously had known because of the clue that the idol was in the stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that there was a hidden immunity idol on Bayon's side, but no one knew that there was an idol there because no one had found the clue? Can you imagine if you were on that tribe and when you put the raft down, something fell out of the stand? Like, what would you do? Like, I don't know. I was just thinking, as a fan, that's something I would just going through my mind right now. Like, I wonder if there was a hidden idol there for them to retrieve, or do you have to find the clue first?
Sure.
I don't know. That just came across my mind.
Yeah, but they wouldn't know. I mean, either way, I'm sure there was.
But that would be crazy, though, if that happened and just fell out and mixed everything up.
Yeah, but I'm sure they had one.
So before we move on to Tribal Council and the rest of this episode, I just want to remind everyone to subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you're watching live right now, make sure to give this video a thumbs up. And even if you're not watching live right now and you're watching this days later, press that little thumbs up because I know you see it. And we would just love as many thumbs up as possible that you can give us. let's talk about the twist after the immunity challenge, because for the first time in Survivor, Jeff was like, you guys are going straight to tribal council. What do you guys think about that? And, like, I don't know. I was kind of mixed emotions. What do you guys think?
I was a little upset. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was happy in that, you know, after 31 seasons, they're still surprising us, you know, with mm-hmm. all these little twists and turns. But I was a little upset because I love all that scheming and, you know, mm-hmm. that last minute scrambling, trying to figure out yeah. you know, who I'm going to team up with, who my alliances are. So it was kind of, you know, sad not to have that.
Yeah, definitely.
I was missing out a little.
Do you think, like, it made a huge difference for who was voted off?
That thing is, I don't know, because, like you said, that was the one thing that lacked for me, was right. that I wanted this scrambling. I wanted to yeah. see the divisions of old school versus new school mm-hmm. on the beach talking, like, are we going to vote a new school out? Are we going to vote an old school out? What are we going to do? Why? I just, the idea of Vita's going home, in my mind, still doesn't quite make sense, except yeah. that he kind of came off a little bit annoying. Just
with his, like, yoga poses and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, with his, it wasn't so much the yoga poses, it was just that he happened to be in those very revealing boxers, and it was just really awkward. But, like, they were making a bigger deal out of it. You know, he was just trying to do some yoga moves. Like, leave the guy alone.
Man, but he pulled those pants down the second he got on the beach. I was like, oh, hi.
Oh,
okay.
Real quick, can we talk about the yoga that we had going on?
The yoga.
Oh, God. If
hashtag yoga.
Up for that, yeah. I would be there every day.
I loved it. The bottom of the screen was like, hashtag yoga. I was like,
loved
mm-hmm.
it, yeah.
And who was saying it? They were like, I think Tasha or someone. Or like, they were like, I'm trying to do the yoga, but it's just so hard for me to concentrate yeah. when you look over and you see Joe.
Exactly.
And they, like, show her turning her head, right. like, looking at Joe's body. Yeah, he
I think
good.
Even Kimmy was looking over.
Oh, yeah, he looks good.
I'm definitely just trying to get the pose right, but I'm checking him out.
And then Keith was all like, you won't be seeing me doing any yoga on the beach. I get up, I have my cup of coffee, and then I go to work.
Yeah. Like 90% of the population.
Yeah, right.
Keith is funny. I loved that. But yeah, I would do some yoga.
Oh, every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I love, too, how Savage was like, you know, my daughters were watching you, and they just thought you were so beautiful.
He's perfect.
Yeah, he's perfect.
I feel you.
I feel you, Savage girl.
Right there with you.
So, yeah, with the Tribal Council, I was just a little bit bummed because I just would have loved to have seen the scrambling in the last minute, mm-hmm. like, what is it going to be? Who's it going to be? Because I really, for a while, thought that Abby Maria was for sure going.
It wasn't yeah. even a doubt in my mind. I was like, yeah, Abby's going home. Like, I did not think that many people were voting for Vitas.
Exactly.
So the way I look at it, too, because a lot of people equate Abby Maria very similar to Cass. They're just villains right off the bat. Everyone's like, oh, they gotta mm-hmm. go. Mm-hmm. If Abby Maria can survive to Kao's first tribal council, I'm almost certain Cass will yeah. be able to weasel her way out
yeah.
of the first Bayonne tribal Bayonne. Council. So,
and yeah, for Vitas, too, he said, like, at the end, he was like, I was saying that I would rather not get voted to come back here than be voted in and be the first one voted out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of sad for him.
Right. Well, especially because he was like, my brother's going to give me so much crap for
if I don't beat Terry. And then he just got voted off right after that.
And I wonder how much of that had to do with them not having that time between the challenge and tribal council. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe if they were able to talk it out, maybe that wouldn't have happened. You know?
And going back to the whole scrambling thing, too, with the whole Vitas decision, like, I understand the strategy behind maybe why Vitas should have gone home first, but at the same time, I feel like what we saw as viewers is that he wasn't really playing aggressively or playing too strongly, right. except that he was just doing the yoga and the flirting with the girls, and it was just annoying a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I was just like, I didn't really see a lot of game from him right off the bat the first 3 days. That what did the other tribe see? Like, what did their tribe mates see for him to be like public enemy number one?
Right.
So
yeah,
that I would just
himself,
like to see
really.
More development with the story on that, because it just
and Jeff Varner was the swing vote
me.
On that,
mm-hmm.
right?
And PG.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because I think they were a little bit on the same page with Abby Maria being mm-hmm. the first one. Because going back to their conversation in the ocean, Jeff even
she said we gotta get
she was all
she, yeah, and Jeff even was like, yeah, Shireen said Vitas, and then PG is like, no, I'm pretty sure like we need to get rid of someone like Abby Maria. Mm-hmm. So
that's surprising. I mean, that's really surprising.
I definitely thought Abby Maria was going to be cut.
Booted.
Yeah.
So in a way, Shireen had quite a say in that.
I was going to say, the big hand and the big move this episode had to have been Shireen, because she was the most vocal, more than anyone, that Vita should have been the one to go home.
Right.
I'm curious. But then I even saw with an interview that he did with Dalton Ross, I think it was posted earlier today,
mm-hmm.
he said that, you know, Shireen, because of her first season and first time on the show, she had a problem with, like, very authoritative men and just, like, dominant men, mm-hmm. that she always had an issue with them. That Vita,
sorry,
kind
who Shireen did?
Yeah, because on being, you know, Worlds Apart, she right. had a lot of issues with the men on the show.
Yeah, right.
That maybe it was kind of like a. Like a spiraling effect that she's like bringing it over onto this
yeah.
season.
Right. Like she's so, scarred almost.
Yeah. yeah. And even at the Tribal Council, they were talking about, again, once again, Abby Maria's growth, which I have yet to see, but I would like for her to prove me wrong. Again,
like, I just take, you know, take a breath, count to 10. I'm like, mm-hmm. right. Did you count to 10? Maybe you counted to 2, but right. that's about it. I know you didn't count to 10.
You didn't get there, girl.
yeah.
And I also loved how bold Jeff was, where he was like, people here are pretending like they don't know what's going to happen tonight, but... We all know what's going to happen. And then I was thinking, I don't even know what's going to yeah. happen yet. Like, is it Abby Maria or is it Vetus?
I thought I knew what was going to happen. I didn't even know Vetus was, like, in the running to go home. Yeah. Like, because we didn't hear exactly the same thing. We didn't hear that old school versus new school when we got back from
mm-hmm. I guess just because he was a swing vote.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, the vote was ultimately 6-4, which sent Vetus packing. The four people that didn't vote for Vetus were Terry, Wu, Vetus, and it was one, Kelly Wigglesworth. Those were the four that didn't vote for Vetus. So it'll be interesting now moving forward into the episodes to come. Will this first vote, depending on how the division was, is that going to be a factor mm-hmm. in like strategy and alliances moving forward? So it'll be interesting to yeah. see the repercussions of like, well, there's four people in the minority, like we have to get rid of them, you know?
Right,
like you see
right.
that on some shows. So I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, well, that kind of sums up our
yeah.
episode.
Yes.
This season, we are doing a Survivor fantasy draft.
So excited.
And what we did prior to the premiere last night is we spent the last week analyzing all of the players this season, reading their bios, watching, you know, all their interviews, kind of getting a gauge on who we wanted for our draft. If there's a fantasy league for NFL football, mm-hmm,
right.
why is there not one for Survivor?
Exactly.
Obviously.
So I had this really brilliant idea.
I did a little digging.
I was invited to be part of John Carroll, who is on Survivor Marquesas. He started this fantasy league on fantasizer.com. And it's Fantasizer, but it's like ZR. There's no E in between it. Really confusing. Mm-hmm. But it's fantasizer.com. He started it, and I was thinking, why don't we start a league of our own? And that way it's easier to keep track
of
score. And here we go. So we picked our players. Paige, who did you pick for your team and why?
For my team, I picked Wu, Vitus, PG, Jeremy, and Tasha. I just thought they'd be a strong team, you know? At first, I was really in between Wu and Joe. Joe was going to be my first choice, and then I kind of switched it at the last minute and picked Wu. And, you know, I mean, Wu was the first one to get the rice. I feel like he's doing pretty good so far. I just did not expect Vetus. I thought Vetus could honestly win the whole thing, and I did not see him going home first. So that puts a little damper on my parade right there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was totally surprised.
But I do think I have two strong girls. Jeremy's strong. He was, you know, kind of an underdog before, so I feel like mm-hmm. I feel like I have a good team.
Yeah.
What about you, Susanna? Who did you choose and why?
I mean obvious choice was Joe was my first choice. Mm-hmm. I also have Keith on my team.
Keith?
Adored him on his last season.
He's so sweet.
Every word that comes out of his mouth, I could just, you know,
yeah.
I love it. I also have Kelly Wigglesworth.
There we go.
From season one. I have Sierra, who I can't wait to see, you know, the growth and the change from her last season. And I have Chaos. Just makes everything more fun, I think.
It ties the whole team together.
Yeah, exactly.
We will talk about Team Marina's team because she's not here today, mm-hmm. but she will be with us next week. She chose Andrew Savage, Stephen Fishback, Terry Dietz, Abby Maria, and Shireen. So she's a pretty solid team, too.
And James, who's on your team and why did you pick them?
Okay, well, my team are my personal favorites, and I'm really excited that I got all of them. Spencer, obvious choice. I'm a huge fan of Spencer. I was a fan of him on Cagayan. I've had an opportunity to hang out with him multiple times since that season. So to see him back playing the game, and he's like a student of the game.
Yes.
I always root for super fans. So to see people kind of live out their dream, I'm already captivated by you. So I'm rooting for Spencer. And another choice, no brainer for me, was Kelly Wentworth. I've had an opportunity to meet her as well at the San Juan del Sur like finale parties. Super sweet, down to earth. I definitely thought she was underrated on San Juan del Sur. Her time was definitely cut short. So I'm super excited to see Kelly back, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Especially now that she's a Hidden Immunity idol.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to see how that'll come into play. I picked Monica Padilla because we had an opportunity to interview her in AfterBuzz back in May, mm-hmm, for her to plea her case as to why she should be chosen for mm-hmm, a second mm-hmm. chance. So I'm excited to see her do well. Jeff Varner and Kimmy Kappenberg, no-brainer. I am always going to be a super fan of the Australian Outback Survivor, so... That was just a no-brainer.
Exactly.
I just want to see them do well because that was the first season I started watching. Aww. So that's my team.
That's
team
your James. Team.
So right team now, who do you guys think are the front runners on your team? Like who? Like if you could pick one solid choice on each of your teams, who would it be?
It's so hard to say. I think right now it's a little weird because she wasn't one of my first choices, but I'm going to go with Sierra. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about her. I just think she's going to... You know, have some really strong plays. I don't think people will really, you know, think of her as a huge threat from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, she'll carry out to the end and then really start making some strong decisions.
Yeah. So she's kind of like your MVP right now for Team Susanna.
Yeah. Yeah, though Joe was my first choice.
Okay. You know who my MVP is. You know it's Woo. I'm so Team Woo, it's not even funny. But I also think that Tasha is going to come out and play, like, a really good role. I was between Sierra and Tasha in my final pick, and mm-hmm. I think that Tasha's going to do good. Yeah. I think she's going to come out and really be strong in this season, for sure.
I am torn, actually. I am torn between Spencer, Kelly, and Jeff Varner. But if I had to say right now, I'm going to say Kelly is my MVP because she found the Hidden Immunity idol.
Yeah.
And she's already showing that now that her dad's
Jeff
not
Varner
playing with her,
she's
going to do well.
Yeah. Has some good potential, honestly.
Jeff Varner, yeah.
I love him.
I don't know. This cast in general is just so strong and so good to, like, mm-hmm. for me as a viewer, like, I'm excited to see every single one of them. And there's mm-hmm. actually more people in this cast that I'm okay with winning for once.
Yeah.
In the past season, like, there's like a few people you're like, I definitely don't want to see them win. And mm-hmm. of course, they always find a way to make it to the end. You're like, oh, God.
Right.
But this season, there's just so many people that I genuinely love mm-hmm. and am rooting for. So
it's going to make it
tough.
That much more heartbreaking.
Yeah. For sure.
So I know there's like 36 people watching live right now on YouTube. So hello to all
guys.
Of you guys watching.
Hello. Thank you.
Again, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Leave comments. Let us know how you guys want our after show to continue going. Mm-hmm. Whose team are you on? Also, let's do some predictions.
All right. Predictions.
Paige, who do you think is going to go home next?
Who do I think is going to go home next? Let's see. Well, I was going to say Cass, obviously, right off the bat, but like we were saying before, if like Vitas goes home right away and Abby Maria gets to say, who knows, maybe Cass will make it a little farther. I honestly don't know who's going to go home. Yeah. I was so surprised by Vitas that I honestly like can't even say who I think is going to go home.
Yeah, I guess because that happened with Vitas, I guess maybe I'm thinking it could be one of those alpha males.
One of the stronger guys.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm worried now is going to happen. But
I don't know.
I'm torn between Abby Maria for... to KO, but if Bayon loses, I'm gonna say Steven. I'm gonna say Fishback. Mm. Like you said, he's Fishback.
That's
out of
true,
water.
Yeah.
So
who did say for
to KO, I said Abby Maria.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm just ready to see her go.
You're ready to see her go. It's been one episode. Like I'm so ready. Yeah. One episode's enough.
Oh yeah, it's just tough. It's really tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be anyone's game at this point.
It is.
Yeah, it's so
anyone's
exciting.
Game.
So for all of you who are watching at home, if you want to play along in our fantasy league, you can definitely go to fantasizer.com and create a league of your own with your family, your friends, your online fans of the show, whoever you communicate with that loves Survivor. Make a team. Play along. Every week you get scores based on, you know, who does well on immunity, who gets the Hidden Immunity idol. Thanks, Kelly.
That's awesome.
Who gets voted out, who doesn't get voted out. So you just get points.
I was wondering how your point, like how, because I was like, wouldn't my points just go down since I lost one of my players?
I looked at the stats and there isn't a score that says you lose 5 points if someone gets voted out. So it's a pretty safe and fun game.
But also comment on YouTube. Let us know on the comments whose team you're on, whose you think is going to win out of our fantasy league.
Yes.
Let us know. We want to know.
Do.
And then I think we also have, I gave an updated like score sheet for episode one just so we can kind of see the rankings of where we're at right now, especially after episode one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we'll get it up yet or not, but it looked like we were all really neck and neck.
Mm-hmm. Close.
Yeah, we're all kind of in the 30s, so I think it's like 38, 36, 32, 32, so... It'll be interesting to see how the points fluctuate.
Yeah. Something I thought that was funny is that their confessionals count as bonus points. And I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
So every like confessional that they do, you get like a plus one or something. Again, this was
how do they do that for confessionals? Like how do they know
like one point every time like there's a confessional, if there's 10 seconds between, then that counts as another confessional. Mm-hmm. So you get another point.
I love
so
that
Addie Maria is just like racking them up.
Oh wow.
Yeah. 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 She is racking it up.
Oh my God, that's cool.
Yeah, and that was all thanks to, you know, John Carroll from Survivor More Cases. Those are his rules. Those are his stats. So he tabulates the scores every week for us. So
there you go.
We're just playing along.
So it's legit.
Yeah. Hopefully y'all will play with us at home. Because it's a lot of fun. So let's wrap things up. Paige, where can they find you on social media?
Oh, you guys can find me on social media. On Twitter at Paige Bonanno and on Instagram at Paige Bonanno. It's not very hard. So follow me.
What about you, Susanna?
Mine's a little harder. You can find me on Twitter at Susanna_Kim. It's SusannaH. And on Instagram at Susanna Kim.
And you can find me on Twitter at James Wallington and on Instagram at James.Wallington. You can also check out my YouTube travel vlog, Where's Wallington, on YouTube. And next week we'll have Marina in the studio and she'll give you all of her social media information as well. And I'm just really excited about this panel because we're all huge fans of the show. I'm excited.
We can't wait.
It's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, so exciting.
Thanks for joining us, you guys.
We'll see you guys next week at our normal time slot, which will be Wednesday night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.